Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought, PT, Community Organization. Tonight's topic, has the gunfight replaced the fist fight? You might think that the old West would have had an epidemic of gunfights, but it isn't so. There appears to be an epidemic of gunfights in today's communities, particularly in some black and impoverished communities. Are we sore losers, obsessed with winning, traumatized, angry, or afraid? Are some of us so starved for attention, validation, and fame that taking a life becomes a stepping stone towards achieving that infamous goal? From Provocative Thought. It is not the intention of Provocative Thought to promote senseless violence on any level. It would behoove us to learn to resolve conflict without the use of violence. To use violence without maiming require us to have a higher level of respect for each other's life, the life of family, the life of the community. Imagine how many people would still be alive and or free to support their family, community, and people. Guess that would be in an ideal world. A fist fight occurs within a limited space. Onlookers, children, and adults in close proximity are relatively safe. Gunfights threaten the life and well-being of all persons within close or distant location from the conflict. Is a fist fight a prelude to a gunfight? It could be. A fist fight is a war or a physical conflict between two people. They are not prize fighters who are bound by rules and regulations. No one wants to lose or be bullied. Some may retaliate by getting a friend to fight for or with them, using a blunt instrument, using a knife, or using a gun. In war, the gun trumps all the above weapons because it is simply the superior weapon. Superiority is the goal in any physical conflict. Once the level of violence is increased, it has to be met with a level of violence that is equal or greater than the violence that was perpetrated. In short, violence begets more violence. Gun violence begets more gun violence. Has the increase of street drugs and street merchants created a demand for guns in order to maintain their product and standing in the community with a standard of superiority? Remember, the street game, though not a game, also includes robbery, jacking, kidnapping, children and homies, petty disputes, and murder for hire. Maturity. Are some gun owners simply too emotionally immature and irresponsible to have a firearm in their possession? Mental capacity. An impaired, traumatized, depressed, angry, jealous, depraved person's mind can foster volatile thinking and behavior. You know, you get frustrated, you know, some people punch walls, some people punch other people, and just imagine if you have a gun on you. You know, there are many variables there. If you want attention for being a winner, a survivor, and a warrior, there's a whole community that needs saving. Start with yourself. The revenge factor. Once someone is murdered or seriously injured, it is difficult to convince someone not to retaliate violently. It is not impossible, though. If we continue to retaliate, there will be no peace. Our sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and friends will continue to murder, assault, and die. That is no way to live. To quote, "Stop the violence. Don't let the violence stop you." From People for Peace on Earth. When did it become acceptable for us to murder each other? Why? For some, is it cool to kill? I heard someone identify violence in the media, movies, violent video games, and the violent videos, the proliferation of the so-called drug gang, thug gang life, the availability of legal and illegal guns, and the absence of God, moral and ethical standards, or spiritual guidance as facilitators of violent behaviors, gun violence, and murder. Some blame the absence of the black man or the father as a strong, positive, influential figure in the home and the community. From Vox by German Lopez. America has 6 times as many firearm homicides as Canada and nearly 16 times as many as Germany. America has 4.4% of the world's population, but almost half of the civilian own guns around the world. So we armed to the teeth in America. U.S. News by Michael H. Futch. It says roughly 13,000 Americans are killed by a gun in a homicide every year. That's 13,000. That's a war, y'all. Those are war numbers. Those aren't. Sorry about that. Those numbers are war numbers. 13,000 a year. That's a small war, and I'm gonna show you how those numbers relate to the numbers of in wars. During the deadliest year for Americans in the Vietnam War in 1968, they said 16,899 Americans died. Now, Vietnam is a place where everybody has an automatic weapon. It was AKs against the M16, right? Basically. And, you know, bombs and stuff like that. And the deadliest year was 16,899. And this brother is saying roughly 13,000 Americans are killed by a gun and a homicide every year in America. I'd say that makes America a pretty dangerous place to live. During the Korean War, roughly 12,000 Americans died each year. So, looking back at that again, we have roughly 13,000 Americans being killed in a homicide every year in the United States during a so-called non-wartime period. And during war again, we got guys with the Korean one. What's that? The carbine, a 32 rifle, 36 caliber rifle. Anyway, we have guys out with the intent to murder each other, sanctioned by each government, and they had 12,000 deaths each year. And here we go. At peacetime, no declared war, just civilian upon civilian here in the United States, Americans, 13,000 to 12,000 in the Korean War year. Something's wrong with this picture. Something's very wrong with this picture. Some say the U.S. government fails to pay attention to it. The media fails to on the issue of foreign wars. They talk about the wars, the foreign wars. They said that 96 Americans were dying on violent death daily in the foreign wars, but that wasn't being covered by the news, the media. They were covering these, you know, mass shootings and stuff like that. It said it doesn't take long these days for media to move from the latest school massacre and to rush past news of the regular local homicides by gun. Maybe there's so many of them that, you know, that even the news is becoming desensitized to that. Mass shootings don't happen as often as I'm not speaking up for the news people or anything like that. I'm just trying to, you know, see, you know, why they might, you know, marginalize some of the gun violence that's going on in the United States. Maybe it's you know, they kind of desensitized to the frequency of the gun violence, and therefore, you know, when mass shooting occurs, maybe that makes that to them a bigger deal. You know, not trying to take up for them anything like that. So don't get your feathers ruffled, you know, because I said I spoke kind of in the behalf of my why the news might not be covering certain things. We have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello, this is Q. How you doing?
Hello, Q. How you doing, bro?
Good. I just want to comment. I agree. Peacetime numbers are atrocious as far as homicides and everything like that. Peacetime numbers are atrocious, and they are comparable to wartime numbers. More people are being murdered here in the United States than our soldiers are being killed at war since we've been in the Middle East. We've been at home. We've been leading them in the, death by firearm. It's a tragedy.
Right. So, question is to anybody. You don't have to be have a PhD to, you know, because some of us live in this environment and some of us experience this. You know, why is this, in your opinion, do you think this is happening that people just don't care anymore and it just, you know, gunfight, you know, erupt, people, it's okay to shoot somebody in the head seven times, one time, you know, and, it, you know, why is so much of that, you know?
I think it could be like a lot of things, like you just said, all those things that you said contribute to it, I think.
Right. You know, so, you know, another thing I was thinking that, well, you know, I asked a young guy a couple years ago, so why do y'all shoot so much? And he said, well, you might as well just skip the fist fight because after the fist fight, if you whip his butt, right? He didn't use that word, but he said if you win, he's just going to go home and get his gun anyway. So you just might as well just skip that, get right to the gunfight. You know, so that's one, you know, scenario that I got personally from a, you know, young guy on the street. And I'm just assuming that if the reason why they kill each other is that they don't want that person to come back and get them. If they're going to get shot by somebody, it's not going to be him. So the message is you're not going to do it. Maybe your friend, your brother, your cousin might do it, but you're not going to do it. You know, which doesn't make it any better because dead is dead. Doesn't matter who kills you, you know. You're still dead as a result of something you did that maybe could have been resolved without gunplay. You know, and I read an article about somebody who, they made a statement about how it was humiliating to lose, and then you get downgraded by your friends. What kind of friend do you have that's going to talk about you because you lost a fight? Like, I don't understand that, because people lose fights all the time. Muhammad Ali lost a fight, you know what I'm saying? So what is that all about? You know, what do you mean you can't lose a fight? You know, so a lot of those guys, back in the day, Joe Louis lost a fight. All right? Sugar Ray Robinson, I think he lost too.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? Like, how come all of a sudden it's a, you know, you're a chump because you lost a fight, even to your friends? Well, that wasn't your friend in the first place, because, you know, coming up, my friend lose a fight, I don't got a problem with that, you know. You just lost. And even if my friend can't fight, I mean, he can't fight. You know what I'm saying? That's him. He's not a fighter. You know, so that's the way some people are. Some people, that's not their thing, fighting, you know. Then you had the guy that used to shoot. You had people, but now it's like everybody's a shooter. I mean, you always had shooters. back in, you know, in the day, we had shoes. We had guys, you know, that would shoot you. You know, but I remember people like getting shot in the leg, you know, people shooting at people. But, you know, now they shoot like 30 shots, you know, and they shooting big guns. They're not shooting nothing less than a 9mm now. You know, and they're shooting to kill, and the repetition, pulling that trigger, is saying, I want to hit something. You know what I'm saying? And if I got a 30-shot clip, I'm trying to hit you. You know, if I'm shooting 11 times and stuff, they're shooting guys multiple times, even after they hit them. So how come, you know, how come we all right with that, you know? Shooters, even the guys that's out there, if you're not all right with that, find another way to deal with that problem, those issues, you know, in the community. Maybe we need to come up with something, conflict resolution. I don't care what the problem is. Resolve it without violence, you know, bring it to the table and things like that. You know, in a movie, and I know it's just a movie, but the movie, what was that movie about Bumpy? What's his name? Fishburne played in it. He met with the character that played Lucky Luciano. Tried to talk about this. They tried to talk. They said they tried to have a sit down, and then, you know, it ended up killing the Chips. But, you know, I mean, it should be somebody that could actually talk about something. You know what I'm saying? Without killing somebody. Like, can we just, even if we can't get along, we all can't get along. We know we all can't get along all the time, but can we find a better way to deal with our problems? I know the drug game, they still would, you know, and murder people. But, come on, like, we just came out of the civil rights movement. That's not that long ago. You know what I'm saying? When your life is being threatened by laws, you know what I'm saying? You know, we had people was outwardly threatening black folks, you know what I'm saying? And it seems like it's all been, you know, for naught. You know, all that marching, we should overcome, you know, lynching black people, you know, at will, you know, in this country, killing them, raping them, and, you know, all kinds of stuff happening. And now we got a bunch of guys that's out here just, like, the Klan could actually retire and just turn on the news and just, you know, their work is done. It's almost like they had a white guy come from the Klan, join on the ranks of the black guys and help them learn how to kill each other. You know what I'm saying? Promoted that or something. You know, the opposite of that movie. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, what happened? Who turned this train around? Who was, you know? And it didn't happen overnight, but you can see things growing, festering and things like that. Like it was a documentary called Bastards of the Party about Los Angeles. They talked about the Los Angeles gangs and how they evolved after the decline of the Black Panther Party and US organizations and stuff like that. They always had gangs out there, you know what I'm saying? They always had them. Then all of a sudden, these larger weapons came into the community. You know what I'm saying? You know, and then drugs and things like that. And then up went the murder rate. You know, because like I said, if you have a AK and I have a problem with you, then I know that I need to get something, you know, to match your power. You know what I'm saying? If I'm not going to the police, or even if I do go to the police, police can always protect you. So I understand the rationale why these guys have these guns. You know what I'm saying? Because anything can happen. There's no rules. And, you know, people want what you have. People don't like you and whatever. And they're out to kill you. I understand that. And it seems like people respect people. You know, this is really crazy, but if you're a person that kills people, do you get a lot of respect on the street? You know, even up with the Italian mafia, you had what was his name? Nicky Scarfo, right? Feared guy. He was feared because he was very violent. You know, but I mean, trust me, Nicky Scarfo is not the only violent man in the mafia, even during his time period. You know what I'm saying? But apparently he was very appeared to be very visible. But, you know, what's wrong with us? Are we that disconnected from life, from our struggle in this country, that, you know, we think nothing of, you know, taking a life or where we choose to take it at? It's not even like they wait until it's somewhere where other people can't be hurt. It's anywhere, anytime, you know, any place it's on, the playground, after when school is letting out, you know. So when did it become so okay for us to, you know, solve our problems with guns and things like that? Is everything about a life and death situation now, you know? Because it seems like it to me. From what I'm seeing is, you know, you have a beef with somebody, it could be a life and death situation. You know, is that what we've come to in our community? Because if it is, we got this problem. 13,000 people a year. That says we have an epidemic. And that's just the people, the homicides. That's not suicides or nothing like that. So we're not getting into all that, you know. But, you know.
That's with the pistols, right? That's with the shootings, you're saying, with guns, firearms, right?
Right.
13,000?
Gun homicide.
Right, gun homicide.
And that's not counting gun suicides, because it says 20,000 Americans every year for gun suicide.
Mm-hmm. Also, not including any type of
knives
or
automobile. It's not even including that. Right. So,
beating people to death, kicking people to death.
Right. That's right.
Nice.
So what is happening to us that it has become so common? And common doesn't mean natural or okay. It just means that it's occurring and it's not a strange event, you know, that it's occurring. It's something that we hope not to occur, but we can expect it to happen in our community. You know what I'm saying? It's that common, you know. It's not like an elephant walking down the street. It's more like they doing it again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening again, you know. So, you know, what is it about us that drives us? And it's not all of us. I'm not making an absolute statement. But what is it? And what can we do as a community, as individuals, families, and communities to kind of turn this around? One person at a time. You know, however it's going, whatever it takes, one community at a time. What can we do to kind of turn this around? Because we have a problem. We have a serious problem in this country. In the black communities, it just seems to be like, you know, that's what happens, you know.
Right.
And, you know, people are very, you know, I won't say they're comfortable with it, but it doesn't appear to be shaking a lot of people, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff happening, and, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, I think it's about time we start showing that. Not
right.
The black people, huh?
The black people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's time we started standing up for ourselves, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have to go out like this.
Right.
We weren't doing this 60 years ago, we wasn't doing this.
Right.
You know, and the shooters are young. At any age, you know, they could be 16, they could be 15. How old was the guy that killed the police officer? He was 15 or 16. How old was he? And he walked into the Dunkin' Donuts. Teenager, right? Well, you know, it's just a waste of life, you know, a waste of your own life if you're pulling the trigger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a double whammy because you wasted somebody else's life and you wasted your own, even though I've read somewhere where 50% of the murders in Philadelphia had gone unsolved. I don't know if that was for a particular year or not. And I was wondering, I wonder if some of those murders are done by the same person, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if 50% or 40 or whatever it might be go unsolved, which I hope that number is wrong, that might be something that is more encouraging for a person to repeat that act. You know what I'm saying? They don't get caught. You know, it's like
right. You
might get caught. You know, so.
Yeah, I'm sure that does happen. The person doesn't get caught. I'm sure he's definitely going to repeat it. Some
right.
of them anyway.
Right. Right. Because you got some people that might happen. That might be a thing that happened. And if they didn't get caught for it, then they probably, that's not the situation they would move toward getting themselves in. Then there might be others who, that is the situation that they all put themselves in. You know, that's what I do. And, you know, you know, guys like that. That's what I do. I smoke people. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
So we need to reach out to those guys. Because they come from families, I'm sure. I'm sure they have somebody, you know, that they care about. And if they don't, then we need to start reaching out to them and reach inside of them and see if we can help them that way. Because we need to stop the slaughter of people, you know, in the community. Especially, I don't care if it's guns or not, tell you the truth. You know, but just guns make it so much easier, you know, because it's harder to kill a man with your bare hands than it is with a gun. Anybody can kill anybody with a gun. Barehanded is a little different.
Right. It's great to do that with a gun.
Hmm?
I said a fifth grader can kill somebody with a gun.
Right. So they had a study by the Center for American Progress where this guy works at. Mr. Futch worked at. So, he said in the study, he came up with this here thing about, I said, despite the factors that many contribute rates of gun violence in a particular community, there is a robust and growing body of research that demonstrates an undeniable correlation between certain strong gun laws and lower rates of gun violence. They think that the government can curb gun violence, like by requiring a permit, background check. And I heard Trump just signed something that said if you had a mental health background or a diagnosis, you still could purchase a gun. Is that right?
Right. That's right. That's because the president had put something in there saying certain people shouldn't be allowed to get firearms, like people with mental health, people who are on the no-fly list and everything like that. And so since Trump and Republicans' job is to undo everything that the president did, they undid that.
All right. So, and they said a lot of the mass shooters had psychological issues, even diagnosis, I think, some of them, where it, you know, had been seen. So I guess that's a point there for people who, you know, that have that background and who commit homicides, especially gun homicides. So it says, you know, you have to pass these things, background check, before you can purchase a handgun. They said the gun-related homicides in the state fell 40%. Oh, I think this is in Missouri. When they eliminated this requirement, they increased 26%. So there's some, you know, information, some evidence of, you know, that happening there. So gun violence in the from the National Institute of Justice, homicide in the U.S. How prevalent is gun violence in America? According to the National Crime Victimization Survey, and this is crazy, this is a real crazy number. 467,321 persons were victims of a crime committed with a firearm. It's not dead people, just dead people. This is just people shot, you know, shot at and stuff like that. And victims of a crime committed with a firearm in 2011. That's a lot of folks.
That's 1 year?
2011.
Wow.
But that's a lot of folk.
A lot.
Man, you know, and it's like, yo, what is wrong with us? Have we lost our minds? In the same year, data collected by the FBI show that firearms were used in 68% of murders, 41% of robbery offenses, and 21% of aggravated assaults nationwide. Most homicides in the United States were committed with firearms, especially handguns. Like you said, a fifth grader could kill a man with a gun. So that's why firearms are so, you know, it gets the job done. You know,
right.
So you want to get the job done. So I guess that's it. And I guess it's killing in fashion now. I mean, is that like you got on Nike sneakers, you got your pants halfway down, what is it like that? And you got a couple of bodies. Is that the way it goes? You know, you got some money. You know, does it go that way? Is that the way they're calling it nowadays? Homicides committed with firearms peaked in 1993. The 90s, you know, that was like crack peaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
At 17,075, after which the figure steadily fell, reaching a low of 10,117 in 1999. Now, they're calling 10,117 a low. Now, to me, that's not a low.
Mm-mm.
That sound like that sound like a number that's a low? 10,000 people?
Nope. Not at all.
Killed with firearms? That's not a low. That's just lower than it was in 1993. That's not a low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those numbers are high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're calling that a low. You know, I kind of disagree with that as being a low. It's lower, which they shouldn't even, the word low shouldn't even be associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
Gun-related homicides increased slightly after that to a high of 11,547 in 2006 before falling to 10,869 in 2008. That's still high numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So guns, gangs, and gun-related homicide. Now, we expect these guys to kill each other, but we would hope that they wouldn't. Gang-related homicide is most prevalent among gangs and during the commission of a felony crime. In 1980, the percentage of homicides caused by firearms during arguments was about the same as from gang involvement, about 70%. Ain't that something? So they're saying,
mm-hmm.
You know, all right, gangs, all right, you know these guys, they, you know, that's what they do, right? Like we said, like, yeah, that's what they do. They shoot, they kill, right? They, you know, but they're saying from arguments, right? About the same.
Mm-hmm.
As from gang involvement. Now, that's saying something about Americans right there. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in 1990, yeah, that's saying something. Yeah, some people might want to blame it on thugs, all this on thugs, but they're saying firearms from arguments.
Right.
You know, I heard somebody shot somebody. I forget where it was at. They was talking about who would play Aretha Franklin in the movies. And somebody
what?
Said a guy shot a guy over that. Yeah. I'm like, whoa. And, you know, it's just what I'm saying. Like, if it's some mental health going on, are they just super immature? You know, what's going on that you get so heated in an argument that you want to shoot somebody arguing over something like that? What is that all about? I mean, you're not in fear of him. He just disagreed with who should play it in a movie. Who
mm-hmm.
cares? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that type of thing. You know, what's going on? You know, like, what is happening to people? They said, but by 1993, nearly all gang-related homicides involved guns, 95%, whereas the percentage of gun homicides related to arguments remain relatively constant. That's not a consolation to me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way they talk about the numbers sound like, but you know, it's not that many. You know, hey, that's a lot. 70% is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of gang-related homicides caused by guns fell slightly in 92% in 2008, from 95% to 92%. But the percentage of homicides caused by firearms during the commission of a felony rose from about 60% to about 74% from 1980 to 2005. So that means that's a robbery and somebody's murdered. That could be maybe the robber getting murdered also, because I saw on the internet where these guys are coming in to rob these stores, and sometimes it's a police officer in there, off-duty police officer in there. And one video, the guy turned around, he was able to draw his gun on the guy's blind side, turn around and shot the guy. Some of the store owners were also shooting people. Firearm-related crime. Non-fatal firearm-related crimes has fallen significantly in recent years from almost, look at this, 1.3 million incidents in 1994 to a low of 331,618 incidents in 2008. I'd say that's a big difference right there. But still, ask the loved ones of those 331,618 people and ask them if that's how they feel about that drop. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, if you want people, you know, to control populations by creating different types of means for people to die, this is a perfect method of doing it. Maintain a certain level of poverty, access to avenues to make money outside of the mainstream, matrix, so to speak, and, create this atmosphere of where people feel like they are stuck and they want to get out of somewhere, somehow, economically at least. You know, even if they don't leave the hood, they got $1 million in a wall somewhere. You know, stuck over your grandma's house in a wall or an attic somewhere. You know, they got something, some form of comfort or something. Maybe, I don't know. It said, since 2008 homicide, in 2011 there were 414,562 incidents. So that's not good. That's almost a half a million. So that's still a lot of folks. You know what I'm saying? And we don't know why that is. But it's too many to me. You know, that's firearm related crime. And, you know, every time somebody shoots a gun, it's not reported. So, I wonder how much of this is underreported, you know, because somebody shoots a gun at somebody, they're not reporting that all the time. That's not always reported. You know, we've seen that, and then, you know, you don't know who to report to. You don't know who did it, who did what, just heard a gun go off. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody out there laying around, but you heard the shot. But I'm sure nobody's running to report that to the police. Hey, the guy that I just killed, brother, was trying to shoot me. You know what I'm saying? Nobody running to the police with that story, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I robbed him. I jacked him for a couple of bricks. Now he's trying to kill me. He ain't running to the police with that story. So this, you know, this non-fatal firearm violence is deep, you know. The numbers is in the millions. And it's just said 95, 6, 7. That's all in the millions. 1,099, 640, You know, these numbers is all in the 100,000s, though. You understand what I'm saying? That's a lot of folks. That's just firearm violence. So Mr. Lane O'Dill said, do we just shoot at each other instead of fighting these days? The same question that I was asking. He said, back in the day, you would fist fight. He said, but people used to fight, and nobody went and got a bat. Nobody went and got a gun. Nobody went and got anything. You could have a fight with a guy in the old days, and 2 days later be playing basketball with him. The fair fight is a thing of the past, wrote somebody else. There are a lot of bullies in these days. They gang up and jump someone and tape it. Humiliation, they don't understand when that kid returns to shoot them. So sometimes a shooter is a guy who's, they got, I guess, the thing, they videotape somebody getting jumped. Then that victim of that process comes back and murders somebody. So, Devontae Lovett, 21, who hosts the Teen Talk Radio Theater show in Chicago, says some are afraid to fight because of the videos. Isn't there something? Because they're videotaping your fight, and if you lose the fight, you're not masculine anymore. It's all about image and perception. Back in the day, people respected that you fought regardless of win or lose. Nowadays, you lose friends, respect, and the courage to fight again. And as I said, you know, earlier, you know, that, you know, you can only lose a friendship and respect of a false friend for losing a fight. A good friend will not encourage you to fight. Fighting is a form of self-defense. Choose your friends wisely. Don't look for people to look up to or to look up to you due to your ability to harm another person. You know, so, you know, and I'm not saying sometimes you might not have to defend yourself or anything like that. And I'm not encouraging people to fist fight. What I'm saying is I'm suggesting that before we go to murdering each other, have a fist fight. You know what I'm saying? You know, let's not grab that pistol, because you can't come back from that, you know. And once you do that, even if you're the trigger person, you got to pay for that. You got to live with that. And if you got to the point where you can live with that, then you need some help. You know, there was a guy in Washington, D.C. I'm trying to remember his name. I think his last name was Perry. Forget his first name. You know, the story we were talking about, the Alpo, Wayne Perry.
Yeah.
And he admitted this to murdering by himself 50 people. Murdered a guy on a basketball court after a game or during a game or something like that. You know, they said that Alpo shook the guy's hand, and it was a guy that Alpo had a beef with, and Wayne Perry shot him in the head from everybody, and there's no witnesses. You know, and just that kind of scenario is really a scenario that would facilitate that happening again, because if I can shoot somebody in front of a crowd of people and nobody's going to tell on me because either they know me or they fear me, what's there to stop me from doing that again? If this man killed 50 people by himself and he admitted to killing, participating in all murders altogether, 100 murders. I don't even know how you could keep count. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and they said Alpo was a killer in his own right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, what have we come to? But if you're dealing with people like that out there, if you got these guys that have multiple shootings, multiple homicides and things like that, then that's going to encourage other people to get armed, heavily armed, and they're going to try to, you know, and self-defense, be it right or wrong, because this is not a right or wrong conversation we have in here. We're just having a conversation about have the gunfight replace the fist fight. And, you know, I guess in the drug game, you know, a fist fight wouldn't be anything, you know, because you're trying to eliminate the opposition. So, you know, I guess that's the thing they need to do. They feel they need to do. They need to kill the other guy, you know. But even in that respect, can we find something, another way of handling that situation? A 2014 report by the National Center for Education Statistics found that the percentage of high schoolers involved in a fight dropped from 42% in 1993, right? That's the height of the gun thing, right? Gun homicides, mm-hmm. to 25% in 2013. So the percentage of students who reported carrying a weapon onto school property during the previous 30 days declined from 12% in 1993 to 5% in 2013. So that 12%, that's again in 93, that's the height of the homicide thing. So, you know, so it's a lot of gunplay in the 90s, and you see more people, more gun activity, people carrying more because, hey, if you know that they're shooting people, you know the only way you can defend yourself against a gun, right, the only chance you have against a gun is to have a weapon of your own, which now you put the whole community at risk, and it's not just you and that guy because people don't get a chance to step aside while you and this guy sit in the street and draw on each other. That's not the way it goes down like you're doing gun smoke, right?
Right.
So, and not to be funny about it, because there's nothing funny about this.
Right.
You know, but that's how things are going down nowadays. And you know, I just want to put the message out there. You know, I'm gonna call ceasefire. You know. People are arguing and things like that. Try not to get into the argument. The things that lead to these things, try to nip it in the bud. You know, you guys out on the streets. And, you know, I don't know what to say to you guys, because I saw on YouTube a guy say that's the name of the game. That's the name of their game. You know, kidnapping, extortion. And things like that, which they do with, you know. So that's the name of the game. You know, there's only one way to deal with those guys. But, you know, find another way to make some money, you know, because you're putting a hurt on us. You're traumatizing the community, children. You traumatized kids are growing up in the community. And, you know, they're desensitized to the violence. They're getting acclimated toward, oh, I have a problem. I'm gonna wet somebody up. Don't mess with me. You know, I'm strapped, you know. And you're gonna die if you mess with me. I understand that thinking, you wanna keep people off you, but we all know, just to use the example in Vietnam, you know, everybody is armed to the teeth, and guess what? Many body bags came back. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah. You know, it's not necessary that it's not gonna solve the problem. So we got to find another way to solve our problems. Because being armed doesn't always solve your problem.
I wonder, out of all those shooters that we have here in the United States, how many have, like, poured at home, people talking to them, saying, you know, trying to discourage that type of attitude, that type of action, and trying to stir them to be more positive about things, you know? They're just going home to somebody who's thinking the same way they're thinking, someone that's not home, someone that's intoxicated, or, you know what I mean? All of that type of
right.
thing like that, you know? But they just don't have someone at home just monitoring them. They just doing whatever they want. They got guns at home, drugs, or, you know what I mean, coming home whenever.
Right.
And on top of that, they're mature with the weapon.
Right. Yeah, you know, I mean, if you got support in doing that, it's even harder to stop it, harder to get out of it. You got your peers, you got your old heads. If you got family members that are adults, your mother, your father that's pushing that, you know what I'm saying? You got an adult in a neighborhood that's backing you up. The adults in the neighborhood backing you up. You know what I'm saying? So that's a problem. You know, and, you know, I'm just want to just ask everybody is to think about it, you know, before you pull the trigger, before you get in that situation where you feel like you might want to shoot somebody, you know, try to resolve your problem without the use of violence. We don't need traumatized community, traumatized families and individuals, because apparently violence begets more violence, gun violence begets more gun violence, especially if we're not trying to resolve our problems without violence. And, you know, let's try to have some respect for life and for other people's rights, business boundaries, and things like that. Q, I want to thank you for calling in tonight. I want to thank everybody that was listening. And I don't know what to say, but I'm going to say this. Each one reach one, each one teach one. Please stop the violence. Don't let the violence stop you. Until next week, peace. I want to thank Beat Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.